And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
And it's another edition of Hoops Adjacent. David Aldridge here in D.C. Our guest, Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe, joining us from Beantown. G-Wash, what's up, man?
Dave, how you doing, man? Always a pleasure. Like, always an honor. So I know you hear that a lot. I know that, you know, it always makes you blush. But, yeah, it's always an honor.
Gee, I appreciate that, man. Let me get this out the way. Now, listen, y'all that listen to us on Hoops Adjacent, we need to hear from you. We are asking you to fill out a quick survey about you and your podcast habits by going to theathletic.com/survey24. That's survey24. Three lucky entries will win $100 worth of Amazon vouchers, too. So whether you're a longtime listener or a new one, we want your feedback. Go to theathletic.com/survey24. That's theathletic.com/survey24. The link is also in our episode description. Appreciate it. Now, Marcus will be joining us. Allegedly, he's in traffic. We'll see. We'll see if Marcus joins us. But, gee, I want to start off with that ass whooping. That's why I wish Marcus was here. That was an ass whooping Sunday in Boston because his Warriors came in there all chesty and left with their tail between their legs. Their interesting decision not to guard somebody that's shooting like 48% on threes since the All-Star break.
So. Yeah, and that's something.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So, man, how insulted was Jalen that they just backed off and let him shoot whatever he wanted?
Yeah, obviously he's got a lot going on. He's, you know, signing the $304 million contract, being the highest paid player in the league, and everyone questioning whether he's worth it. That, and obviously he's worth it because he got paid, and he's worth it because it's just his time came up, and you know, next summer or the summer after that, someone's going to sign a bigger contract, and the pressure will be on them. But for him, for now, the pressure's on him, and he wants to perform. And the fact that they kind of chose him to kind of leave open, and Draymond, you know, as Draymond does, disregarding him or just kind of like, shoot that, you know.
Right.
We don't get under the boards for the rebound, was insulting to him and disrespectful, and he took it personally. And, you know, the Celtics kind of pivoted from that in that game. You know, Jalen went off, and then they just moved the ball around and hit threes. And when this team hit threes, and I said, I've been a, you know, covering this team for 15 years, and I've seen they're hard to beat. They're one of the more talented teams I've covered, and that includes the kind of the aging years of Garnett, Allen, and Pierce, right? That, you know, I would say the 2010 team was great. You know, I came after the 2 years after the championship, so I didn't cover the title team, but that 10 team, remembered the age, you know, was the fourth seed and just kind of just got it together and made a run to the final. So that wasn't, they weren't as dominant during, I think they won 48 games that year. So this team is going to win 60 plus, and they're loaded. And when they play well and they hit their threes and they move the ball, they play unselfishly as they did against Golden State, they're pretty tough to beat.
I wonder if that decision by Golden State, is that like a galvanizing thing, you think, for the whole team? Because it's like, no, you can't come in here and disrespect a man like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean?
I do think though, David. I also think they relish these type of game plans because, as you know, like what they're preparing for is the playoffs. Like, they can do all the winning. They can win 75, 74 games.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter unless you win the title in Boston. At this point, this team is knocking the door so many times and failed to kick it through that it's all about winning a title. and this is their best chance. So I think they're relishing how opposing coaches, like, you know, they're going to face in the playoffs, Steve Kerr, Nick Nurse, Eric Spoelstra, are throwing wrinkles at them because they think that that will prepare them for the playoffs. They will prepare them because at this point, you're going to have to approach the Celtics with something you probably haven't seen much before. A standard defense against this team probably isn't going to work. So you're going to have to throw a zone. You're going to have to throw a box in one. You're going to have to do something throughout a seven-game series that throws them off.
Yeah.
And they take maybe a game or two to adjust to give yourself a shot to win the series.
Yeah.
So I think they relish the challenges. Now, obviously, Jalen took it personally. But I think Joe Mazzulla walked away saying, way to go. Like, thanks, Steve, because you're giving us more material for which to prepare for in April.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they're like, I don't know. I mean, Curry did say, this is what we used to do to teams, and I thought that was really telling. Like, when Steph says something like that, you know that's hit a nerve, right? So I wonder, like, you mentioned zone, and I thought about that when I was watching the game Sunday, and I was like, how do you play zone against a team where everybody can shoot? Like,
yeah.
You know? But you're right. You got to do something because just playing them straight up doesn't work.
Yeah, especially with Porzingis, and Porzingis didn't play Sunday.
Yeah.
So the one development I saw this year against, because Miami's a team they're looking at. I mean,
sure.
As much as Milwaukee, they're looking at them too. There's two teams, in my opinion, the Celtics are locked in on that they know they're probably going to have to face. Miami and Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Okay, you can talk about Philadelphia, you can talk about Cleveland, you can talk about New York.
That's what they want to play, right? They want to play Miami and Milwaukee. Right?
Yes. They know what happenstance that with their luck, Miami is going to probably be in the second round, maybe the first round, who knows what the Heat do.
Yeah.
And then Milwaukee's going to be in the conference finals likely.
Right.
So they're preparing for those two teams, and they're preparing for those type of game plans. And Miami, in those three meetings this year with the Heat, they never figured out a way to guard Porzingis.
Yeah.
They just didn't.
It's hard to
he
guard.
He was a problem. For
it's hard to guard. Shit.
Yeah. And so they're preparing for Spoelstra to have some type of wrinkle if they need the playoffs, right? So, and the two games that Milwaukee and the Celtics have played, it was kind of a shootout. The first game where Celtics took control and kind of held on at the end.
Yeah.
And that was the game where the issue with Giannis and Adrian Griffin kind of came to it.
Right.
Where he tried to pull Giannis early in the third, and Giannis was like, what you doing?
Yeah.
And like waved him off and then stood at the scorer's table and said, next dead ball, I'm checking back in.
Right.
Mofo, like you don't know how things go around here. And I think that was the first sign that we saw of some issues between the players and Adrian Griffin.
Yeah.
And then the last meeting in Milwaukee, the Celtics coming off a back-to-back and got completely blown out. Their worst performance of the season got blown out of the water. And kind of like the Warriors did Sunday, they didn't play any starters in the second half.
Yeah.
So it's hard to judge their matchup with Milwaukee, but the good thing for the fans, they play Milwaukee twice more in the next couple of weeks. So that should be interesting how those two teams face up. But I think the Kerr situation and that strategy was good for the Celtics to know that these coaches, your Docs, your Nick Nurses, Kerrs, Mike Malones, JB Bickerstaff, whoever, are going to throw some wrinkles and are going to try to do something to muck up the game. And so I think the Celtics were good with that.
They got to. Just look. You know what their net rating is since the All-Star break? It's 26. That's not possible. If your net rating is 9, you're doing great.
Yes. They're putting it all together. They're playing their best basketball of the season. They have this stretch coming up: Cleveland, Denver, Phoenix, and I think we'll see some things, especially Thursday against Denver.
That'll be a very
interesting game in the altitude after losing to the Nuggets a couple of months ago at home. They're playing well. They've stayed for them, their sake. They stay pretty healthy.
Yeah.
They've given Porzingis you know, but he could have played Sunday.
Right, right. They're being careful, right?
But they're, obviously. I mean, I think they understand he's good for about 60 regular season games. That's how much you want to give him. And then they want him to obviously play every game in the playoffs. So they're being careful with him, but they have just put everything together, and there's a sense of unselfishness and a sense of like motivation. Like, they can see that this is their year. They look at the rest of the league, and we can look at the rest of the league. There's no great teams. Like, Denver is very good. But they're not. They're not even leading the West right now. Although they might in the next couple.
They're
of
coming
weeks.
On. Yes. They're coming on.
Minnesota, you know, loses at home to Milwaukee. Kind of has to fight the other night to beat Portland. Oklahoma City's a team that, as much as I want to have faith in them, they go to L.A. and just kind of lay an egg the other night against the Lakers. And, and they just don't – like, I know, David, they don't want to see the Lakers in the first round.
Right.
Like, I just – that's a team they're 1-3 against the Lakers this year. Yeah, that's a team they probably want to avoid in the first round is Oklahoma City avoiding the Lakers. So the Celtics look at this and say, this could be us.
Yeah,
but we got to do everything right. We can't step a step. We can't look forward. We can't, you know, we've got to respect the process. And I think that's 60 games in, that's what they're doing right now.
So when they played Denver the first time, how did they guard Jokic and how did Denver try to guard KP? If I can't remember, I think they both played, but I can't remember.
Yeah, they didn't play. It was kind of an interesting matchup. It wasn't Jokic as much as it was Jamal Murray that they had issues with. Jamal was just very good that night.
Yeah.
And then it kind of came down to the wire. There's the Celtics missed some shots they should have made. Obviously, low-scoring game, good defensive game. Jokic, they doubled him at times. Sometimes they singled him with Porzingis. It wasn't a Jokic – it wasn't one of those, you know, 36, 13, and 16 games.
Right.
It was it was more Murray. And the Celtics had their opportunity to kind of pull away and then botched it, and then Denver – kind of hung in there, and then kind of stole it at the end. The Celtics didn't make some intelligent plays in late in the game,
right,
to lose that. But I thought their issue in that game, David, was Murray, and figuring out how to guard him, and the fact that he's a very difficult shot maker,
right?
Like, you can guard him well, and he'll still shoot it off the glass.
Absolutely.
He'll still figure out ways. He'll get to the free throw line. So that's a problem. That'll be interesting to see Thursday night how they attack Murray. They've had some success with Jokic over the years guarding him, but we got to see that. And then Michael Porter's got to show up. You know, we'll see how that goes. It'll be one of the more, probably one of the better games left to watch in the regular season as a whole.
Do they have hatred for for Denver? Because I know they got hatred for Miami and Milwaukee. Like, they
got rare.
So that's the thing. Know, like, that's going to be the final, you know, probably.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they got to figure some things out. Like they don't know Denver enough. Like, you know, there's mutual respect, but they got to go in there Thursday night and not get blown out. Like, the altitude will do stuff to you. They get a day off after coming from Cleveland, so you would think they're going to be fully healthy and fully prepared. And that's a big game, I think, for their psyche, because obviously they've lost at Oklahoma City. They've lost at Minnesota. They beat Minnesota at home. They still haven't played Oklahoma City in Boston. So they want a farewell against the West, right? They've lost to the Clippers. They've lost to the Lakers. So their record against the West is not great. It's great against the East. I mean, they pounded the East. I think they're 16-1 against the Atlantic Division. So they're pounding the teams that they should, but this is a good test. Them going out West, and I know probably Booker might not play Saturday night in Phoenix, but just that Durant-Beal combination and playing on the road and that, you know, ABC game, I think that would be a good experience for them too.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, so did they solve...
Marcus, you made it!
Yeah, did they solve the Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, who's getting the ball at the end of the game question?
That's a good question, Marcus.
To me, that's the difference between them and a championship.
I mean, I think that they have to do that, and they've got to make better decisions. I think what they've done this year is Jason had a couple of plays where he didn't make some plays, including the Denver game where he kind of took a weird, funky shot against KCP, could have gotten to the line. He still got Kobe-itis at times in the last few seconds. And I think that they understand that they got to move the ball around and give Jaylen a shot, give Derek White a shot, even give Kristaps or Drew Holiday a shot at the end of games. But honestly, Marcus, they haven't played a whole lot of close games.
Right.
So it ain't been a big litmus test of like, okay, let's see what we do. I'm sure they would love to have one of these games coming up come down to the wire just for the experience of it to see if they can run some actions that can get either Tatum open, a Tatum Brown pick and roll, Drew open, Derek White, something where they can get a layup, something easy where they can show that they can execute down the stretch. But the chemistry between Jason and Jaylen have been good this year. You know, they understand, like, the pressure's on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're entering the midpoint of their career, even though Jason just turned 26. He's in his seventh year. Jaylen's in his eighth year. They're getting at that midpoint. And they're looking at their legacy in Boston and saying, we both want our numbers in this rafters, but the only way we're going to do it is to win a title.
Oh, got to win one. Because
they ain't going to bang one. They ain't gonna lift it if they don't win a championship.
Yeah.
So what we have to do together, they're saying, is we got to win in whatever means necessary. Now, when free agency hits, because Jason's going to sign a five-year, I think he's up for 338.
Right.
Something like that. So he might be the highest paid player in the league next year. He's up for the extension this summer. You know, they'll configure all that out in terms of salary cap, second apron, who somebody have to go after they win a title. That's their main concern right now. And they're actually good. You know, I think the perception is that all these young guys are alike, and these two guys are not alike. Like, Jason's right. A dad. Jaylen's trying to see the world. Jaylen's trying to change the economic structure of black community in Boston. Jason is doing his own thing, but they have a healthy respect for each other. They like each other. And I think that's important. You know, your stars, and David, you know more than us, like Bert and Mikhail didn't get they were not the best of friends.
Scotty and like, Michael.
Yeah, like
Scotty, alone.
Exactly. Yeah. These guys were not as close as we want to think, because now, I mean, only Scotty and Michael, but, you know, these guys haven't come out and said we hate each other on a 30 for 30, right? Like,
right.
We don't know, but we all know that these guys are not, we're not as close. When Jason and Jaylen are close, but they're different, you know?
Sure.
So, the fact they don't party together, the fact that you know, Jaylen's not at his birthday party does not mean that they don't like each other. I think that's kind of blunt.
That's what it means on social media, so I ain't listening to what you're talking about.
Exactly. You know what I don't – and Mark, that's a good point. This is what I don't understand about a team as good as Boston. Like, if you just watch the film from Sunday,
It didn't matter who took the shot. Like, they're all open. Just get the ball to the open guy. It doesn't matter who takes the shot. You know, you're all shooting 40 from three.
But it will, though. That's the problem.
That's what
it
I'm
will.
Saying. Why? So, but why does it matter? Why would it matter in June? If so you got to June by playing that way.
Here's the problem they're going to run into. And they ran into this with the Warriors, right?
Yes.
The pressure that the Warriors put on you is you got to get a bucket. You have to get a bucket because they're going to get a bucket. And you know who puts that pressure on you more than anybody? Jokic. Like, you know this dude is getting
Denver.
A bucket.
That's what I'm saying.
You know
that's
he's
what I'm
getting
saying.
A bucket.
Yes.
It's like happening. Denver. So you better come down. So when Jason comes trying to do his little drive, trying to draw the foul, it don't happen, and they go the other way. Like, that's a killer. Like, every time. And so here's the question, DA. Are they okay if the answer is KP?
Well,
the answer might be KP.
Why wouldn't it be KP?
It gotta be okay.
Dude is unguardable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but nah,
nobody's here on guard him.
Jason and Jalen paid their dues to get here. This 35 years of
water. See that 7-2 dude at the elbow? That doesn't miss from the elbow?
Like, nah, I'm not giving this up. I got to make up for the Andrew Wiggins fiasco from 2022. We're not, nah, he ain't giving up the ball that easy. Come on, right, Wash? Can't just be like, all right, Drew, this is your shot now. Like, nah. Man,
I think that you're right. It could be different when they get to the playoffs. Because right now, you're right. Like, Drew got off to a really slow offensive start. Like, it was like, damn, like, is this dude kind of slipping a little bit? But now he can't miss from, like, the corners.
Derek White ain't missed all year. I ain't seen him miss all year. Like,
Derek White is the most improved player I've seen from a period of when he got to the Celtics in trade deadline 22 to now. Like, that NBA, that finals against the Warriors, he had a good game one and was like, I'm good.
Right.
I got you.
I'll let y'all.
I got you a game one win. I got you a game one win in Chase.
Right.
And y'all, you know, I'll see you at the ring ceremony. It's like, no, Derek, like, you gotta follow
over there,
done.
Like, Derek, we need you.
he did not have a good rest of the finals after that game one. Neither did Horford.
Right.
So, but Derek has taken such a large step forward, in my opinion, got out of his own head, because he's one of those guys that. Confidence is a big deal. I maybe like Wig might be like that in the Warriors. Like,
yeah,
some of these guys got
gotta
eternal confidence.
Got to see one go in.
Like,
yeah.
Derek is like, you really want me to keep shooting? Really? Because obviously he spent 5 years with Pop screaming at him, don't take this shot, take that shot.
Yeah.
And he comes to Boston, and it's like he's got free reign, and he's learned how to embrace that now.
He cut his hair off. He's like, this is a new me.
Yeah, he's a free man.
I can't.
Yep.
I'm not gonna get clowned by Chuck and Shaq no more.
I think that was the. Yeah.
Well, that was so cold. Y'all
saying Deion took over the Buffaloes? He lit now. This Derek White season, baby.
He's a man, and he's played played well. Drew's played well. Kristaps has played well. So you're right, though. Some team is gonna force them to have to share the ball. And we'll see what happens in the game five or game six, whether their philosophy that they have now holds, because they have all sacrificed. Jalen's averaging 22 a game.
Right.
He averaged 26 last year. Jason's averaging 27. He averaged 30-plus last year. They are taking fewer shots.
Yeah.
But they also know, like, they want to win.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is, like, all NBA and all that stuff is great. But in Boston, if you ain't won nothing, especially
in Boston,
the Golden State series, where it's like y'all had your chance, and then the Miami series last year, it's like y'all could be in three consecutive finals this year, but y'all had to like not show up and get outcoached and outplayed by Miami and let Jimmy Butler get in your head.
Yeah.
So they're trying to prepare themselves for anything, because they know whether it be. Game is going to turn into like 2017 game.
Yes. That's going to happen.
You know, Giannis is going to be fine. And then Pat Bev is going to be driving fools. Like, they know somebody is going to go over there, play over their heads. in the East to challenge them to get to the finals.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, so you made up with Missoula yet? That's what everybody wants to know. Like, y'all cool now? Y'all good?
Have you? How many times have you watched The Town since?
Okay. Y'all are funny. Okay, so me and Joe have always been good. It's just, you know, I'm going to ask the tough questions, and he's prickly. And especially right. When it comes to their propensity to shoot too many three-pointers. Right. Like, they shot 58 at Chase Center. Marcus was there that night. Was like, how you
it
shoot 58?
Crazy. Against a team with 41. No rim protection. No rim protection.
Yeah, with no center.
Not a single like, rim protector. They were just it was jacking. Wild.
I got
it.
Just jacking. No.
You know what's the crazy part about that? Like, you got heat for asking the question, but we sitting on press row like, what are they doing? Yeah. Why are they just chucking threes like this?
They're chucking
insane.
Threes. And so... We're fine. You know, we talk, we text sometimes. Joe and I are good. Okay. But I'm going to challenge him, you know, and he's going to come back at me, and that's fine.
I mean,
I'm not a homer. I'm not a, you know,
God.
I'm not a, what they call a green teamer.
That's the thing, G-Wash. They be acting like this stuff, like when stuff like that happens, they be acting like we ruined that whole sleep. Be like, man. This yeah. Thing, what? And G-Wash covered baseball for years. Like, you know
what I mean? Yeah, like, I just feel like the whole business is like, I'm not rooting for them. Like, I'm not, it's not my job to root for them. It's not my job to hope that they win. It's my job to cover this team fairly.
Right.
And when they take 58 threes against a team with no center, you know, and they make only 17 of them, you missed, like you said, a franchise record for missed threes, and you lost a game by six, and you knew Steph was going. Like, the whole thing is, Joe, you know, eventually Steph is going to turn into Steph.
Right.
So your job is not to be at more than two possessions
right.
late in the game, because if Steph gets going, he hit that one, Marcus, you remember, in front of the Warriors bench, where he just did that. And I was like, yeah, see?
Hey, he shot that joke a crazy high, too. It was like a moonshot.
And I was like, that's what y'all get.
Yeah. You got what you deserve. You got what you deserve.
You know, if you're up again, you're playing the Warriors when Steph has got it going, and you're up less than two possessions.
Right.
But see, that's the thing. That's the thing, the only thing that worries me about this team, which is weird too, because they've been through this so many times, you would think they would know. But you could get to them. Like, you could, you know what I'm saying? You could get there, you could start, hey man, tell you scrub. And you know, he would like go 1-on-1. And Marcus Smart wasn't, I don't think he was good for that too, because you can get to him too. Right. And they need a point guard to be like, hey, calm down, we good.
Right.
Everybody, you know, and I feel like they got that. If they solve that,
Well, that's Drew, good. But that's Drew.
That's Drew,
right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Drew, like, hey, nah, we're not worried about that now. Right now.
We can't out-warrior the Warriors. Like, that's right. The thing they try to do in San right. Francisco.
Yeah.
Like, they tried to be like, oh, and they came away from that game, honestly, that was a good game for them. They came away from that game realizing the Warriors couldn't really guard them. And obviously, without a center, it makes it, without an engaged Andrew Wiggins, but that's what they came into this matchup last Sunday with, like, they can't guard us.
You see they try to get Jaylen Brown's head off the rim.
you
well, that's
that?
What we're talking about. Yeah. Try to get his head. Like, go ahead, I dare you.
That's your Atlanta dude. That's your,
But see, hey, Jaylen Brown is savage, though. What? Like, man, right. You give me this, I'm taking him.
And then your boy, I was telling Jay, your boy Draymond made it like, the only time I've seen that is when LeBron, in the Eastern Conference Finals, when it was LeBron guarding Jonas Jerebko.
Right.
And literally every time Jonas got the ball at the three, LeBron turned his head and ran toward the rim to get the rebound. Like, it was so disrespectful. But then again, we're talking about Jonas Jerebko. This
you
was like
disrespect the Celtics legend Jonas Jerebko like this. Yes. What are you doing?
That's the only time I've seen a dude get that disrespected. As Draymond looked around and was like, "Oh, take that 26-footer!" Right. Like, and Draymond, I don't know if his superpowers are still work anymore, but yeah, like that. Jaylen took that personal. He's at this point where he's heard so much about his contract that, like, man, it don't take a lot to get him going.
No. I'm just telling you, I think the difference when it comes to the playoffs is that 7-2 Latvian. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
They ain't had that before. They ain't have as good as Al was, and Al was really good for a long time. But this dude, he's a problem.
It's unlocked him defensively, too. I don't think they understood or realized how much defensively he would make a difference because they were thinking, we lost Robert Williams. Oh, boy. But Kristaps is a
so
rim
good.
Return,
I
rim
told
protector.
Y'all he was good. I told y'all he was going to be good at the rim. He's really good at the rim.
Yeah.
He knows how to defend. He's learned how to do it. So hey,
G-Wash, if D.A. don't know nothing, he know X-Wizards.
He knows when the Wizards make a bad
trade.
Yeah,
he knows.
They had to do something. I ain't mad. They had to do something. He was going to walk
PhD
anyway.
At that.
He like, oh, you got traded for the Wizards? Put him in the Hall of Fame. Get his jacket ready.
The Wizards lead the world. They lead the world in getting good players and thinking they're great players. Like, you can't, like, KP isn't a great player, but if he's the third option on your team,
he's a third
you're
option.
Right.
He's a
you
good
know
player.
What I'm saying? You're good.
Yeah.
You're all right. You're going to win a championship.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, when they play Miami, if they play Miami, even if they play Milwaukee, look, Giannis is a great defender, but he ain't guarded 7-2, like, no, on the regular. Now. Yeah. 7-2 and skilled? Like, can step out and shoot it?
He's a good passer.
And a good passer?
It's unlocked them. And I had no clue as to what his impact would be. I saw him last year in Washington. He had a good year, but it was obviously, it was a bad team.
Yeah.
And so he was just getting his numbers and kind of boosting his stock and his confidence. But he is blended in well, and he loves playing in Boston. Yeah. His teammates like him. He's great with us, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's always been good, a personable guy, a good talker, and he's been great in terms of just his maturation now at 29, and understanding his place in the game, maybe some of the mistakes he might have made in the past.
Sure. I think he's right. I just don't know. I don't know how they don't make the finals. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't. I'm trying to come up with one.
I think they're just too hungry. They feel like the hungriest team in the league. You know, they feel like I mean, there's nothing else left for them to do. Like you were talking about all NBA, like they got everything. They got the money, they got the accolades. Like, they play like a team. It's like, we have a different mission. I know what that looked like. I watched that for years. Where it's
right.
Like, hey,
you know.
We're on
you know.
Level. Like, nah, that's a different they're on a different level, which means they gotta win it. Oh,
right.
Man.
Yeah, especially in Boston, Marcus.
They absolutely have to win it. Which,
especially in Boston.
Which, you know,
Mike, it's the uncomfortable pressure. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's how they go deal with that. It's the uncomfortable pressure because all this is great, 48-12 and yeah. for them. And, you know, they're coasting and people are telling them how great they are. But what happens in April and May, you know, what happens if you lose a game one at home? Will right. you be able to bounce back? Can you defend? Can you be a better home court team? They were awful in the home court.
Oh, yeah, terrible.
In 22, losing yes. you know, two games
yes.
to the Warriors.
Game four, I'll never forget game four. That was how did they lose that game? I have no idea. How did you lose that game?
Stephen Curry.
In their fourth quarter execution under Ime was a problem, and it never got really addressed. It got kind of camouflaged. And then, like you said, Marcus Smart was one of them guys that was like, oh, you going to take a three? I'm going to take a three. Right. Like, I'm going to win this game for us. Like, and it was so profound. I just think, and as much as I think he was a great Celtic, and I wrote that he should get his number retired for what he changed the culture of the franchise, I think it might have been the best move for him to move on. And then Drew is just such a calming influence. Like, Drew's like, hold up, fellas, I done this.
Right.
You know, like, he doesn't speak much. He just does his job. You know, he's just come in. He's not trying to take over the leadership role. Hey, I'm the one that got the chip around here. Like, there's been none of that with Drew.
He left Milwaukee, like, they talked, the Giannis is like, don't forget the basketball. Like, I love him, right? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The way they talked about Drew is like, hey, like, it was like, like, you know what I'm saying? It was like, yeah, it's yeah. Hossis, yeah. it's yeah. Alex, and it's Drew. Like, it's like
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how they talked you know. About him. I think you're right in this sense where if they get rid of Marcus Smart and replace him with the wrong guy, that hurts him. I think they just replaced him with, like, the perfect guy.
Yeah, totally.
Just be like, hey, because in the end, it's going to come down to what's in Jalen and Jason's head. Like, at right. the end of those games. Because, to me, the only team that can beat them is Denver. And in the end, if you just get outcooked by Jokic, I mean, what you supposed to do, bro? Like, right. Jokic. Right. But if it comes down to the moments, if they're playing smart basketball, because that's yeah. what they don't do. When you just, know what I'm saying? Jimmy can get them to not play smart basketball. Nah, D.A., you missing this, man. You got, like, Kobe armbands on and stuff.
I know.
Y'all are trying to do all that. You know, man, like, just play smart basketball.
I have to say this again. MJ didn't win nothing until he passed the ball to Paxson. This is not complicated. Get the ball to the open guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pass it to Paxson. He's open, you know.
Nah, these kids is on your lawn today. These kids,
I know.
They're not getting off your lawn. Nah. You gotta... So, G-Wash, what about? I mean, look, they're so great at the top. It probably don't matter, assuming they stay healthy. But how is this bitch developing? You know. What they like seven deep, like we're playing like 20 minutes?
Yeah,
like,
seven or eight.
Yeah. I mean, do they need nine or 10 at some point?
It could be an issue. The question is, you got Horford coming off the bench and in the playoffs where there's every other game, he's not going to be getting back to back. So he'll be fine. They got Xavier Tillman and he's trying to, I think they probably will. He'll take Luke Kornet's kind of minutes, but I think Tillman's a guy that they really like, and he can shoot the three. Not great, but he can shoot it, and he's a mofo. Like, you don't want to see him in the dark alley. Huh?
He only 25. He got traded. Literally. Looked at him. I was like, bro, he only 25?
There's like
he's 37 out here. Like, he like grow with five kids. So, you know what I'm saying?
We have. So the Fast Life beat writer is named Suichi Torada, and he's a Michigan State grad. He's like 27, 28, and he went to college with Tillman. And I'm like, I know you saw him on campus at East Lansing. with a receding hairline and a beard and said, hold up. That dude's in my freshman orientation?
With some sandals and socks on, huh? Like,
me and him go to the same school?
Right. He's the grad assistant, isn't he?
Yeah, hold up. That dude's a freshman? Like, Tilly looked grown man. That's a grown man.
That dude is grown, bro.
Like, my father used to watch NBA, and he used to say about Lonnie Sheldon, I don't want to see that dude in a dark alley. And
Lonnie was a bad man.
If kids don't know Lonnie Sheldon, Google him, and he looked like he's not to be played with.
No,
and
yeah, I think you just know.
Tillman's one of those guys who got a mean streak to him, they needed that. They need a dog.
Yeah,
like Marcus was kind of their dog. So I think they hope that they don't have to rely too much on their bench. I don't think they're going to bring anybody out with the buyout.
Right.
Market, it's kind of thin at this point. And they can't bring in, I love Marcus Morris, but he makes too much.
Right.
They're under that second apron.
Yeah.
So he makes above the mid-level, so they can't sign him.
Right.
But I think they're going to kind of ride it with Horford, Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser spreading the floor, and Tillman. And just go maybe try to go nine
and
see how that bench does.
Kata gets in there somehow? Do you think he's can steal some minutes? Or is those all Horford backup center minutes?
Yeah, he's on a two-way. They'd have to convert his contract. But he might. No, they ain't converted yet.
That dude is good,
they messed with him, man. They sent him to the G League.
Yeah.
You know, one minute he on the bench getting minutes, the next minute he playing against the Long Island Nets. It's like, come on, man, why you do one minute like that?
Man, he good, though, man.
The next man, he inactive. The life of a two-way contract is not fun for some of these dudes. They can do whatever they want with you.
Man.
Like, hold up. Didn't he score 10 and 5 last night? And he playing against, like, Rio Grande Valley the next night? On a back-to-back?
I know when he came to San Francisco and played the Warriors, everybody was like, hey, Mike, don't leave you. Why you don't got this?
So we go to Sacramento the next night, and everybody's like, damn, they signed JaVale McGee over this dude. And like, you know, because I guess it ain't worked out for JaVale and Sac.
No.
But, yeah, they kind of dumped it for JaVale. And, you know, he's played okay. I'm a Kata guy. Like, he's a dog.
I like him, bro.
Yeah, you need, like you said, you need those guys. And especially if Pat Bev starts woofing in a game, you need somebody to step to him. Like, come on, we ain't doing this, cuz.
Pat Bev is going to cause some problems.
You know Pat Bev going to do it. You know, it's just a matter of who he picks
on. He's going to cause some problems in the playoffs. And then I saw the Dame quote last night, and he already he worked Dame back to on his corner like in 2 weeks. Dane was like, yeah, you need a dude like that.
Dudes had his
heart and desire, they'd be in the league a lot longer. I'm like, oh, he'd already worked.
And remember, Pat Bev was like, Dane was the first person who wanted to fight me.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
Russ was the first guy. Russ was the first guy to want to fight him.
Well, Dane was the first one who said it. Like, man, I'll beat
you. Dane was trying to throw hands like 2 years ago
when
Pat Bev did this in Portland. Now they buzz. Like, that was a... That dude's NBA story after he retires is going to be fascinating.
He must be a great teammate. Like, he must be a great teammate.
Bro, how do you not love a dude that will go fight everybody for you? Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, how do you not love that? Like, of course. Right?
He stays in the league. He stays employed. He's on that Anthony Tolliver plan.
Anthony Tolliver played
17 years and 17 teams
and
stayed employed. He got it. Pat got a job. Like,
as long as he needs one. Yep.
Long as he can defend.
You know, that Udonis plan.
Yep. He is not going anywhere in this league.
It's crazy. Crazy. Man.
Yeah, that's the squad. So, my last question is, you know, I know y'all boys, right? You've already cleared up that y'all don't have any issues, but how ready is Coach for this? And how much did last year kind of help him for what he's about to go through now?
Yeah, I think he's taking a big step from the first year to second year. It's also, some of it was his fault. He was really stubborn, not calling timeouts, being too reliant on the three last year. But also, he was working with a staff where them dudes was trying to find the next job.
Yeah.
Like, he was working with all of Ime's guys.
Yeah, weren't his guys. Yeah.
And there was probably some resentment that Mazzulla got named coach and maybe not Damon. Nothing against Damon. Damon was great. But Damon leaves for Georgia Tech in the middle of the season. And then the rest of the guys are Ime's guys. And Ime's telling those guys, hey, my next job, you're on my staff. So these dudes are just trying to figure out where Ime is going so they know where their families are going and they know where they're going to work next year. And meanwhile, they're trying to coach the Celtics, knowing their future isn't there. So this year, they got Sam Cassell, who everybody loves. Charles Lee, a total pro. They got Phil Pressey. He used to play in Boston and has bounced around a little bit as an assistant coach. They have a more stable staff
right. That
can pull Joe aside and say, hey, Joe, this is what's going down. And there isn't any resentment. There isn't any, like, anything going on looking over his shoulder or guys not being comfortable or guys looking for their next job. Maybe, now, obviously, Charles and Sam are probably going to be head coaching candidates
this
summer. And if the Celtics win, and I'm sure they realize that the Celtics win the championship, it makes them look even a more qualified, better candidate. So they got a stake in it. But I just think it's a more comfortable environment for Joe. And he is listening and learning. And his guys like him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a situation where the guys don't like him. Joe's a bizarre guy. Totally a bizarre guy. Like, and I'm not ripping him. You know, he thinks differently than most.
Yeah.
And, we have a healthy respect for each other, but he's the most unusual coach I've probably ever covered. But he's only 35 years old, you know, and so he's still trying to figure these things out. And I think he's made that step. Now, we'll see what happens when he faces Spoelstra, Doc, Nick Nurse, these kind of coaching wizards who are experts at coaching teams in 7-game series and in game planning for one team and having a week or so to prepare. We'll see how that goes, because last year he struggled against Quinn Snyder. He struggled against Doc until he decided to start Robert Williams, and then that changed the series. And then Spoelstra just got him in the first 3 games and Miami got into their heads, and the Celtics then were scrambling.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Nurse will throw a box and one. You know that, Marcus. He'll throw a box and one
in the finals. And you're on a JV defense in the finals.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
In 20, in the bubble, I mean, he went at Kemba Walker so hard, Kemba was never the same player after that. Yeah. Like, Kemba's whole perception around the league of whether he could defend and whether you could have him on the floor all changed in that Toronto series against the Celtics in the bubble, where Nick just went at him. Just
hunted him.
You know, and that was a wrinkle. Celtics ended up winning that series in 7, but that was a wrinkle that caught them off guard. So Nick, those guys are all, you know, good coaches for a reason.
I ain't mad about being in Beantown in June. It's kind of cool up there in June. I ain't mad at it. I'll do it. I'll be happy with it. So we will see. We will see, G-Wash. But thank you for your time, bro. As always, safe travels on the road. And
hey, can I tell you a G-Wash story before we go?
Tell you, of course you can.
How G-Wash set me up when I was a young buck. So I get to the Contra Costa Times, a little suburban rag in the Bay Area, right? Walnut Creek.
Yep.
First job out of high school, you know. And then there's like a team, you know, a staff photo, right? So I'm new. Like, I'm hype. You know what I'm saying? I got my first job, DA. I just graduated. Did my little internship at Newsday. I come and got my job. So they staff photo. They're like, all right, staff photo. I'm like, sure, let's go to the staff photo. I got my little khakis on, my little, you know what I'm saying? I'm ready. Take the staff photo, whatever, come out. G-Wash comes up to me afterwards. It was like, and you was in the staff photo? And I was like, yeah. He ain't told me I wasn't supposed to be in the staff photo because I'm the only black dude in the staff photo. Are you all in there? Are you dancing?
They put you right out front.
Yeah, I was. He like shaking his head like, bro, you took the snap photo. I'm like, well, I'm not supposed to take the snap. Hey, I was in the front, you know. I look black as hell next to all them.
You
too,
were blackety black, like, weren't you?
That was 99, 2000 something. So, you know, it was real. Huh? It was before 4K. All you can see was my eyes and my khakis. Like, he ain't even tell me, though. He just gonna let me. I'm like, bro, you gonna let me take the photo? Oh, man, I thought you knew you don't take the photo. You know.
I wasn't there that day.
Supposed to be not pictured.
It just no been me and him.
Wasn't no brothers on the wall, Dingy. Wasn't no brothers on the wall.
Yeah, we got to shut down Sal's Famous.
I'm like, man, he ain't even tell me. So a photo came out. They got the little calendars up with the photo. Here I am in front.
Hey, what's wrong with you, Marcus? You ain't know? You ain't know?
Lesson learned.
I was new, man. I didn't know. Now I'll be running for the staff photo.
Yeah, can't do it. Sorry, I got something else to do. Y'all leave the 5-star review on Apple, on Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this fine American podcast. Marcus, I already know the answer, but if they can't leave 5 stars.
Keep it to yourself, you haters. We're going to make you be the only black dude in the photo. All in the video. Dancing.
I was like, Marcus, what are you doing?
I was like LeBron and J.R. Smith after game one.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.